and particularly verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The title of this sermon is, I am not ashamed. We've seen through the services on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that there is real hope for us, and it's found in Jesus Christ. The hope that we have doesn't come from us being good enough, by us being good enough or doing enough good things, but rather it comes through knowing Jesus. Jesus is everything. We're not too good for the gospel, but nor are we too bad. We've seen that as well. The gospel is designed for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he could save the foremost of sinners. Paul, who was a wicked man, one who had persecuted the church of Christ, one who had blasphemed the Son of God, one who was an insolent opponent of God's plan of salvation. God could save him, and God did save him. And so there's hope. The message of hope is that reconciliation with God is possible through Jesus. And it all hinges on what you and I do with Jesus. Do we trust in him or do we reject him? Do we accept that he is our willing Savior, our substitute, the one who dies in the place of sinners? Or do we reject him and want nothing to do with him? Today I want to encourage you not to be ashamed of the gospel. There are many things that we can be ashamed of. I don't know what brings you a sense of shame. Some people are ashamed because they feel unattractive. They're unpopular. Maybe they feel their life is a failure. Maybe on so many levels you feel like you've made too many mistakes and you're ashamed of these things. But there's one thing never to be ashamed of. And it's the gospel of Jesus. That's what it tells us here in this verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? What is this word that Paul uses? The gospel is God's solution to our greatest problem. The gospel is good news. That God is willing to deal with our sin. We all have the experience, I'm sure, of getting good news and getting bad news. We all know which one we prefer. It's nice to get good news. It's nice to hear that people are engaged to be married, or they're expecting a baby, or they've got the all clear after being treated for cancer. Those are good things. We rejoice in those things. There's also bad news. We don't like to hear bad news. On Wednesday evening, we heard that the message of hope came with a bit of bad news. It comes with a bitter pill to swallow. And it's the fact that we're not good enough. We're not good enough to come before God. We're not righteous. We're not as good as we think we are. But we're like that beggar in filthy rags. We need to be stripped of our rags. We need to be washed. And we need to put on the clothes that Jesus Christ gives. We've been thinking about how we are made by God. And therefore we're accountable to God. We're responsible to him. But we have disobeyed him. Not only in our outward actions, but in our hearts. We've rebelled against God. And the wages of sin is death. There's nothing but the fearful expectation of judgment unless we trust in Jesus Christ. And that's a hard thing to hear, that bitter pill to swallow. The gospel's hope. There's something for us that's good news. But when we accept it, we have to also accept that we're not as good as we think we are. We need Jesus to be our substitute. We need him to be our sacrifice in our place, because it's only through him that we can be reconciled to God. I can't do it. You can't do it. And so the gospel is this solution, God's solution to our greatest problem. And it is the only solution to this great problem. There's no other way to be reconciled to God. It all hinges on what we do with Jesus. Will you receive him as your Savior and follow him as Lord? Will you turn away from your sin in your past to Jesus who saves sinners? This is the only solution. But the question for us today is, are you ashamed of that gospel? Are you ashamed of this message of hope? Perhaps you're rejecting the gospel of Jesus. Most people who hear the gospel for the first time reject it. When we go and spread the gospel, when we go and tell people of the hope that Jesus brings, most people just out and out reject it. They don't want to hear it. And why is that? Well, for some people, the gospel is just foolishness. It's folly. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 about the Greeks, and they were seeking after wisdom. But in their mind, as they're searching for wisdom, the gospel is not what they're looking for. It doesn't fit into their categories. The gospel is folly to them. You see, the Greeks were people who were interested in philosophy, ways of thinking about the world around us. And they had all sorts of philosophies. Just as today there are all sorts of philosophies. Different ways to think about the world around you. But to many people who seek after philosophy, after wisdom, the gospel is incompatible with their way of thinking. Let me give you a few examples. I think there's a majority of people in the world who are humanists, or in our land at least, humanists. They think that humanism is wiser than the gospel. Because what is humanism? It tells you you have no need of a savior because man is basically good. Every single person is basically good. All that we need is a little bit more instruction, a little bit of education, and it will unlock our full potential. Humanism is what's taught in schools today in our land. You're basically good. Education will make you better, a more responsible citizen, a more effective contributor to society. And that seems like wisdom, but it denies that we have sinned and that we need a savior. Think about the political realm. And the philosophy that dominates in our land is pluralism. And pluralism seems kind. Pluralism says that all religions are the same. We're all on an equal footing. It doesn't matter which religion you adhere to because we're all heading in the same direction. And we should be tolerant of all religions. That seems very kind, doesn't it? But the problem is that not all religions lead the same way. There's an exclusive. This Christian religion is exclusive. That Jesus is the only Savior. Or think about the philosophy that dominates in science. Evolution. This idea that man has evolved from lower life forms. Essentially, we're no different than the animals. It seems to fit in with all the fossils. It seems to fit in with all the scientific facts that we're expected to believe. The problem is that this philosophy denies the morality of man. It denies the fact that we're accountable to God. Because if we're the same as the animals, no different from them, well then, we can't sin. And again, this way denies the Savior. If there's no sin, there's no need for a Savior. Or think of atheism, the growing religion in our land. More and more people each year are professing to be atheists. It seems wise. The God of the Bible, the stories in the scripture, those are just fairy tales. Those are children's stories. Atheism is the more grown-up version. But again, Where God is avoided, where God is rejected, there's no need for the gospel. There's no need for a savior. And so name any philosophy you like, any way of thinking about this world, and it will be chosen by people because it seems like a wise idea. They think that what the Bible teaches is foolishness. There's a God, a holy God, one to whom we're accountable, that he's angry with sin, that we're sinful, that sin is a pollution that affects every part of us, that we need a savior, that Jesus could possibly be that savior. See, all of this is considered to be foolishness. And so they reject it. They reject it. And perhaps you're here today rejecting the gospel because it's foolishness to you. Maybe you think that you have a better way to reach your full potential, to have your happiest life now. And in your mind, it's not in this way, not in the gospel, not through the Bible. Perhaps you think you can have happiness and satisfaction without Jesus. And so, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we read it, to those who are perishing, the word of the cross is folly. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Those who seek wisdom reject the gospel. But there's another group of people, Paul told us, who reject the gospel, who are ashamed of the gospel. And that is those who were the Jews, those who were seeking after signs. And to them, the gospel was nothing but a stumbling block. It was a scandal. It was something hideous and disgusting to them. And why was that? Well, you have to put yourself in the mind of a Jew. In the Old Testament, it tells you, cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree. Anyone who is hanged is cursed by God. That's the Jewish mentality. And Jesus was hanging on a cross, on a tree, on a piece of wood. And so to a Jew, that person hanging on a cross was cursed by God, disowned by God, hated by God. So how can this be the way of salvation? How can it be possible that you can have reconciliation with God through someone that God curses and pours out his wrath on? To the Jews, the message of the cross did not appeal. And maybe for you also, a crucified Jesus is not an appealing thing. That someone who died on a cross is laying claim to your life seems distasteful. You see, many people want affirmation. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe that's why you come to church, because you can get affirmed that you're a good person. People here will say nice things about you, that you're good enough. But the gospel says you're not good enough. The gospel says you must come humbly to a crucified Messiah. That's the very reason why he died. That's the very reason why he became a curse. Cursed is the one who hangs upon a tree. He did it in the place of sinners. And the thing for us is, one of our major problems is our pride. We think so highly of ourselves. And perhaps for you, you're not willing to submit yourself to the gospel. You're not willing to humble yourself and to admit that you need a crucified Savior. So you may be rejecting the gospel because you're ashamed of it. You're ashamed of the seeming foolishness of the gospel. You're ashamed of the seeming weakness of the gospel. Or maybe you're ashamed of the gospel for another reason. Maybe it's not because it doesn't make sense to you, but you're ashamed of the gospel because you're ashamed of having to confess Jesus before other people. You're ashamed, in other words, of the cost of the gospel. Now, in one sense, the gospel has no cost. Absolutely none. Anyone who trusts in Jesus is freely forgiven. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything, because Jesus alone pays the price. But there's another sense in which the gospel does have a cost. in the sense that there are implications for your life afterwards. If you believe in Jesus Christ, well, then that begins a life of living for Jesus Christ. You have sinned in your past, and that is why you needed to come to Jesus for forgiveness. But having come to him for forgiveness, you're to go out and to live for him, forsaking sin, and in his mercy and in his strength, pursuing obedience. There's a cost. Jesus says that if anyone is to come after him, they're to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. But as you think about it, as you think about the implications of believing in Jesus, maybe you begin to think, I don't like the sound of this cost. I don't like the sound of denying myself. I don't like the sound of picking up a cross. I don't like the implications of following Jesus and all the places where that takes me. Perhaps you think about your workplace and you think that following Jesus will now have implications for you in how you work. Maybe before you were able to get ahead by cutting corners, by telling a lie every once in a while, by working on the Lord's day. All these ways got you ahead and maybe got you promotion. It got you favor with your boss. But now, because you're following Jesus, you realize I can't do those things. I have to be honest in the way I work. I have to tell the truth. I can't cut corners. I can't steal my employer's time. No longer may I work on the Lord's day because this day belongs to God. Or maybe you think about your friends and your family members. You used to enjoy a good laugh with them. You could joke around with them and they accepted you. But now if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be different. You're not going to fit in the same way. Not only can you not join in the same jokes as you once joined in with, but now you're going to become the butt of the jokes. And maybe for you, that isn't a very appealing prospect. It's the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus, that life isn't necessarily going to be easy for you. But what does Jesus say? In Luke chapter 9, he says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose or forfeit his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." If you're ashamed of Jesus, if you're ashamed of his gospel, if you're ashamed of his words, he will be ashamed of you when he comes. Or in Matthew chapter 10, he says this, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You see the choice there. Are you going to acknowledge Christ as having the rightful place of lordship over your life? Or are you going to deny him and not give him that place in your life? Well, if you acknowledge him, he will acknowledge you. If you deny him, he will deny you. The Christian life isn't necessarily easy. I'm not standing here promising you that your best life is ahead of you, that all will be easy and well. Everyone will love you and you'll get all sorts of blessings in this life. No. It's a hard life. Jesus says, deny yourself and take up a cross. But Jesus never abandons those who are his. And he will go with you every step along the way. And even if family members reject you because you've become a Christian, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He's not ashamed to call his followers brothers. What could be better than that? That Jesus is willing today to take you into his family. Where other people would reject you, he is not ashamed to take you as a brother or a sister. And so Paul tells us here, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of his gospel. Why? Well, it tells us in verse 16, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It is God's power, and it's his power in this direction towards salvation. Whether you're a Jew, he says, or a Greek, it doesn't matter. If you believe, you will have salvation. If you trust in Jesus, you will have the forgiveness of sins. The power of God to salvation. Do you know how powerful God is? We sang earlier in Psalm 29 of God's powerful voice and all that God's voice can do. But do you know how powerful God is? In Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning of your Bible, you're told that God created the world from nothing. He did it by his voice, by his words. He made all things out of nothing. That is power. Power that you and I do not have. Or think of Jesus. When he lived in the world, what could he do? He opened the eyes of the blind. He cleansed lepers. The paralyzed were able to walk. He fed 5,000 people. He raised the dead. There is the power of our God. He is God Almighty. He is God who is all-powerful. And this power is able to save sinners. Why would we be ashamed of the gospel when it is God's power to save? And it's not only that the gospel itself is powerful, but the preaching of the gospel is powerful. I think that's what Paul is getting at here. He's setting out to come to Rome. At least he wants to come to Rome. It's his intention to come and to have a harvest amongst them, to see people coming to faith. And he's announcing to them the way he will come. It's the same way he went to any city. It's the same way he went to any person, any place. I am not ashamed of preaching this gospel. I'm not ashamed of telling you about Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of God's way of salvation. It may seem weak to you. You may despise it. You may reject it. But I will never be ashamed of it because it saved me. The power of God to save me. And so Paul came and he preached and he preached and he preached. The preaching of the gospel is powerful, not because of the person preaching it, but because it's God's powerful word. Jeremiah Burroughs, who was a man who lived a long time ago, a Puritan, he said, every sermon I come to hear, I must expect to be nearer heaven or nearer hell. I don't know how you came in today to listen to a sermon. What did you think might happen? I think Jeremiah Burroughs is quite right there. Sermons take you in one of two ways, don't they? Closer to heaven or closer to hell. Your heart is either softened or hardened. You're either led to believe in Jesus and pursue him, or your heart is hardened and you fall away. Every sermon you hear, when the gospel is preached, it can bring you near to heaven, or it can take you nearer to hell. And so we should not be ashamed of this gospel, which is the power of God. We should not be ashamed of the preaching of the gospel. And no matter how much it's despised in the world around us, it is God's power. Friends, I hope and pray that as a congregation, we will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've put out nearly 15,000 leaflets over the last couple of weeks. We put a banner up over the door of our building. We put an ad in the advertiser. We promoted these events on Facebook. You went to people personally and you asked them, would you come with me to church to hear about Jesus? We've done that because we're not ashamed of the gospel. But I pray that we will never become ashamed of it. I pray that we'll never be tempted to hide this light away and to be quiet and silent in this world? Because we're laughed at. There are some people who are laughing at us for holding these services. Hope for Airdrie. The gospel is despised by some. But let us not be ashamed of it. Let us not be ashamed of Jesus who came to save sinners. I pray that we'll never lose confidence in the preaching of the gospel. That we'll never take out this central part of our order of service and replace it with something else. With a drama that's more entertaining to people. Or something else, entertainment. No, it's the preaching of God's word that is the power of God unto salvation. Only the gospel can save sinners. It's the message of hope in Jesus Christ. And so, friends, I ask you, are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of this message we've been hearing over these last few nights? Or are you prepared to own it? Are you prepared to say publicly, Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. And I am going to live for him because he has saved me from sin. Are you prepared to say, he is mine and I am his? Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has come to do. Amen. Let's pray.